I want to spend just a few moments talking to Joe Dallas about something that has been in the news over the last week, and I feel burdened to help Christians be able to react and respond properly to an issue which is going to be part of the upcoming presidential campaign. We have a general, Peter Pace, who said publicly that he believes homosexual acts between two individuals are immoral and that we should not condone immoral acts. He also stated that adultery is immoral. He said, I do not believe the United States is well served by a policy that says it is okay to be immoral in any way. That got a swift and derisive response in the media. You have Joe Wyrick, executive director of the National Stonewall Democrats, who said that most Democrats understand and should understand that morality isn't derived from sexual orientation or gender identity. Morality is how you treat your neighbor, support your community, and sacrifice for your family and country. When I tuck my daughter into bed at night, she said, those are the values I teach her. She went on to say, we expect Democratic candidates and elected officials to reaffirm those same values, to speak up when families or individuals are scapegoated or maligned for political gain, and to proactively argue the benefits of treating all Americans equally under the law without regard to their sexual orientation or gender identity. Joe, at face value, when you hear words like that, and you've been sensitized by our culture, you say, well, that makes sense. We should not discriminate or make value judgments in any sense against homosexuality. These are two people doing something in the privacy of their own home. It doesn't affect anybody, and therefore a general like Peter Pace shouldn't be making this an issue that has anything to do with morality. Your comment.
It would seem, Hank, that lines are being drawn that are forcing public officials, and I believe will eventually force private citizens as well, to make a declaration one way or another. This is not an issue that we can duck. I think the absurdity of the kind of thinking you just laid out is that it encourages us to believe that there is no such thing as a value judgment or a moral standard. And I say that's absurd because, Hank, we all have them. Whether we are Christian or non-Christian, everyone believes that certain things are right and certain things are wrong. And it is unreasonable to ask people not to state what they believe to be right or wrong. And yet, when it comes to homosexuality, a new ethic is being promoted in our culture and really internationally that says even though you may say other things are right or wrong, you may not make a statement about this. Because you'll notice, Hank, General Pace did not really get called on the carpet for saying that he thought adultery was wrong. It's the fact that he said homosexuality is wrong that got him in such hot water.
If you go down that road far enough, and it doesn't take a visionary to see this, why can't you then use the same logic and say, if you have two consenting adults doing drugs in the privacy of their own home, we shouldn't be making a value judgment about that?
Logically, isn't that where you have to go? And logically, doesn't that take us down the road that I think is well described in the Old Testament as a time of confusion when every man was doing what was right in his own eyes?
So the point is, if there is not an objective lawgiver, then you are ultimately given the other choice, which is relativity. Everything is relative. You can do whatever is good in your own eyes.
Exactly. And Hank, really, a sort of a side issue to that is the double standard. Because I find that the people who are calling on Christians and on social conservatives, whether Christian or not, to take a pro-gay viewpoint and abandon our traditional viewpoint. I find those same voices who are telling us we must not make moral judgments to be, in fact, very judgmental and, in their own way, very moralistic. The folks who are on the theological left or the social left have very strong opinions about a variety of issues, and they reserve the right to publicly state their opinions. My question to them is, why then is it so increasingly unsafe for us to state our opinions, or even for leaders to state their opinions? I notice, for example, when Mrs. Clinton initially spoke on General Pace's remarks, she simply said, and I quote, that the morality of homosexuality is for other people to conclude. In other words, she said that is an issue people should be able to decide on their own. Well, she came under a lot of fire from the gays for making that statement, because they said, in essence, it's not enough for you to say that people can make up their own mind about the morality of homosexuality. You, Mrs. Clinton, must state that you do not believe homosexuality is immoral. And eventually, of course, we see she was coerced into saying just that.
Is it demeaning to people of color to say that homosexuality is an identity as opposed to a behavior?
Well, I think it is demeaning when homosexuality is compared to skin color. Minority status, because the struggle for the African American for dignity and freedom in our country is light years away from what's commonly called the gay rights battle. Homosexual people were never shipped over to this country and sold as slaves. There have never been gay and straight drinking fountains or gay and straight places in a restaurant to eat. You simply cannot compare the economic struggles that African Americans have had facing discrimination and mistreatment compared to what lesbian women and gay men have faced in America. So in that sense, I'd have to say it is demeaning.
Joe, pretend for just a moment that you're sitting across from a college student. The college student has been given sensitivity training, as it were, such that they now believe that it is incomprehensible that anyone would make the kind of statement that Peter Pace made. Sit across from that person, as it were, and explain to them why you think this is a significant issue and why you believe that Christians need to be able to speak out on it. And even if you're not a Christian, it is a significant issue for the family and the culture.
Yes, Hank, I take the approach that Paul took when he was speaking in Athens, and he saw that there were monuments erected to many different gods and even one to the unknown God, just to make sure all bases were covered. And instead of just jumping in and saying, "Don't you realize that's nonsense, there's only one true God," he found some common ground and built an argument from that when he said, "I see that you believe, as I do, that there is something more than what we can see in this physical world. Now, how do we determine what that is?" If I was sitting across from such a college student, I'd say, "Well, I see you have very strong feelings about what is right or wrong and what is decent or indecent or uncivil behavior. And so do I. I'm glad you feel that way. But we all have moral beliefs, don't we? General Pace has his, you have yours, I have mine. So we can't criticize someone for having a moral belief, can we? Now the question becomes, how do we determine what that belief should be? It seems to me that we are created beings, and as created beings, we have a creator who must have had a specific plan in mind upon creating us. And it seems that it would behoove us to determine what that plan is and conform our lives to that." See, to me, that would be a good starting point for this kind of discussion.
Okay, the rejoinder might be, that's what you believe that the Bible says.
Yes, I would say, well, yeah, the Bible is a document. Let's pull it out and look at what it says. There is a difference between adding to what the Bible says or reading something into it versus simply taking it at its word. So that being the case, let's look at this document and see if I am telling you what I believe the Bible says or what, in fact, it literally does say.
So it all gets back at the foundational level to being able to demonstrate that there is a God to whom we are accountable, that the Bible is divine rather than human in origin, and that the words of Jesus in ratifying the Mosaic Law ultimately mean something.
And you see how, Hank, this ultimately becomes an apologetics issue? This is not just an issue of sexual ethics. Homosexuality, for the Christian living in 2007 and beyond, has become an apologetics issue. It's an issue that gets us back to why we believe there is such a thing as created intent and why we believe that this document called the Bible is authoritative.
For people listening in, Joe, which book of the many that you have written deals with this in the most helpful way?
I would think my most recent one, Hank, which you were kind enough to endorse, it's called The Gay Gospel? How Pro-Gay Advocates Misread the Bible. And it provides the pro-gay interpretation of the scripture and then provides a point-by-point response to it.
Thank you, my friend.
Great speaking with you.